So we have two very meaty presentations for you, but what this is really sandwiched around the Don Avedian Award, and I'm going to introduce it, and then All right. I'm going to invite Marge up to give this part of the issue. She's shorter than me. Yeah. My wife. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to, center these presentations, which I think will be very worthwhile and exciting, and hopefully provoke some discussion, which we've allowed time for, around understanding and remembering and honoring the legacy of Avedis Don Avedian, who, fortunately, I got to know in the last few years of his life, really around this particular award. And I think what I would say about this year's recipient. There's so many things to say, and I'm mostly not going to say it, and I'm going to defer to the presenter of the award, Nikki Lurie, who I'll introduce in a second. But, the people who are total giants on one hand, but the most personable, down-to-earth, special people who just would go out of their way really to help anybody, and I think... That was what Avedis Don Avedian, as I call this Schiff's rule, sort of the bigger they are, the more time they have for you. People like Don Berwick embody that for me. You know, there's a lot of people, I've met a lot of them at Harvard, actually, very, very big, important people who, wouldn't give you the time of day and wouldn't make 5 minutes for you. But Carolyn, Avedis Don Avedian, and many of the previous award winners, but have that other special quality. And that's really what I think underlies what has made her a giant in ways that we're going to hear about. Carolyn is somebody who is not only a personal friend, and somebody I've sort of grown with as we've been trying to advocate for national health insurance and reform, but through my career as just sort of a little guy and doing ARC projects and trying to understand diagnosis error and improving medication use, working funded by ARC, who has recognized some of the issues that really matter the most in terms of changing healthcare in this country. And then obviously, Carolyn's just a stellar role as a leader there. So I think this is really, in some ways, the most special of these, and this is the 12th of these awards. You can look and see, and I think Carolyn also put these in her slide. I assume she's going to make a comment of. But the past winners are all people in this tradition of really thinking about quality, understanding quality, thinking about how to improve quality, and especially in Carolyn's case, actually getting the work done to make quality improve on so many fronts. So as our 12th awardee, Carolyn is the person we've. Look to see, wonder how somebody could survive in all these different political environments, Republican administration, Democratic administration, and I think we're very eager to hear from her in a few moments. So I'm going to introduce Nikki Lurie, and just only a brief few words. Nikki is also someone who I was shoulder to shoulder in Midwest Society for General Internal Medicine. She was at the University of Minnesota, an educator there, and researcher. She did a study where she tried to figure out what house staff did when they were up all night on call to try and figure out whether that was a good idea. They were there in the bunk, top bunk with a stopwatch watching what happened during a 24-hour shift. And a much more broader scale, she now is really thinks about emergency preparedness. She's the Assistant Secretary for Preparedness for HHS, Preparedness Response. Previously, she was working with RAND and Special Assistant to President Clinton and Minnesota Health Department, so she's really qualified. But in addition to that, being in Washington, I think she has a lot of personal stories and knowledge about Carolyn, only a few of which I have been able to convince her to share, but hopefully she'll give you the flavor of why we're going to be so honored to give this award to Carolyn.
Thanks, Gordy, and thanks for asking me to do this. I actually decided maybe it's best not to tell any stories. But you know, when Gordy asked me to do this, you know, of course I said, of course, because Carolyn and I have been friends and colleagues for a long time. But then, as I was getting ready for this, I was trying to think about when it was that we first met. And you know, I think Carolyn and Gordy and I all trained about the same time, and really all grew up in general medicine together. Carol and I were fellows at the same time, but at different ends of the country. I was out in Los Angeles, and she was at the University of Pennsylvania. And I think probably the first time we met, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, we both showed up at something called the Social Responsibility Task Force at the Society for General Internal Medicine, which was really about an earlier iteration, or maybe one of several earlier iterations of trying to do health reform, and really working to promote universal access and universal coverage. And I guess as I look back on that, although none of us really explicitly stated it at the time or really had a very good language or vocabulary for it, all of the work that we did back then was really about that nexus of access and cost and quality that, you know, is the golden triangle that we talk about so much today. Several years later, John Eisenberg, who is a dear friend and mentor to each of us and who ultimately became the head of AHRQ, reintroduced us, probably as part of his pretty infectious effort to collect a whole bunch of physician health services researchers around the world and instill in them a deep and lasting commitment to working on quality. Suffice it to say that Carolyn and I became good and very lasting friends and colleagues. And in truth, she is the person that I'd call after I'd wake up at night, night after night after night, with some completely half-baked crazy idea about how to improve healthcare or public health. And she was really always totally ready to meet me by the river for a walk or go to some concert, and we'd spend all of before the concert and all of intermission and some time after talking through whatever half-baked crazy idea it was, and we could decide that either yes, it truly was half-baked and crazy, or even better, by the end of the walk or by the end of intermission, it would be much more clearly articulated than I could ever do on my own, infused with sufficient wit, and complete with an action plan, I think, for how to move it forward. It's one of the things that really inspires me about Carolyn. And so it's with tremendous joy that I've been able to really reflect on her career and on her contributions to the field of quality, impressively just following in the footsteps of so many of the greats, some listed on that other slide, obviously Avita Stanabedian, Bob Brook, John Eisenberg, Don Berwick, many others. Of course, though, it was Avita Stanabedian for whom this award is named, often, as I think all of us know, really the father, grandfather, great-grandfather, whatever it is, of quality. And he is probably the first person to articulate so clearly that framework of structure, process, and outcome that we all still use today. The story of how we came up with that framework is actually one that I would commend to you, but you can read it online. Would only say that in doing so and in his work, he spawned entire generations of people committed to developing and promoting that field of quality. I think less well-known, although certainly something that Gordy just alluded to, is that he was just an extraordinarily gentle and modest man. There was just no arrogance there whatsoever. He was also, I think many of you know, an amazing and wonderful poet. I only got to speak with him a few times, but one of the things that I remember so clearly is if you listen very carefully to the way he expressed his ideas, even about healthcare, even about access, even about quality, even about justice, you would in fact hear poetry. He succeeded in doing what I hope that many more academics, and for that matter, what many more of us in public service could do, which is to inspire action. And in fact, reflecting on his own career, he once wrote, "In all my work, I've tried to embody the passionate conviction that the world of ideas and the world of action are not separate, as some would have us think, but inseparable parts of each other, Ideas in particular are the truly potent forces that shape the tangible world. Carolyn Clancy is one of the few people I know that truly embody that sentiment. She has consistently combined the world of ideas with the world of action, whether in areas of access, whether in areas of equality, whether in quality, again, whether in justice. Trained at Boston College and at the University of Massachusetts, Carolyn did her fellowship, as I told you, at the University of Pennsylvania, and then joined the faculty at the Medical College of Virginia. Although she didn't last long in academia, she's always had that spirit of inquiry. She joined AHRQ and its predecessor organization in 1990, where she became known for her work in a whole wide range of areas, including quality and safety. And while many were surprised when in 2002 Secretary Thompson in the Bush administration appointed her to lead ARC, I believe it was really a testament to some of Carolyn's incredible attributes. Her first is cultural competency. Although she is from Boston, she had learned with the help of her husband Bill to speak fluent Wisconsin. I think it helped a lot. Second, her straight-faced, dry wit and humor, which at the end of the day both put people at ease, makes them realize that they just missed a great joke, and makes them think, so there's really no time for them to get angry between being furious at themselves for missing a joke and having to think. But most important, I think, was her understanding at the core that issues like quality and safety aren't ones of interest to just people with R's or D's on their sleeves, but that healthcare quality is important, really, to everybody. Then she made this a universal issue and built an impressive bipartisan public-private coalition, and then had the foresight and vision to position the issues like access, prevention, inequalities within that quality framework. So we did a lot of work together on inequalities and quality. We talked briefly about my introduction of her here a couple days ago, and I decided it would be best not to tell a bunch of stories about our various adventures together over the years, as I think was probably hoped for when Gordy asked me to introduce her. Why? Because at the end of the day, Carolyn's modesty is actually much like Avdes Zanabedian. True to form, Carolyn really wanted to convey how exciting it is the government can be a positive and galvanizing force for quality and safety. She wanted you to know that our HHS team is full of unbelievably incredible people. And I want you to know that, marshaled by Carolyn's leadership, they are actually fulfilling Donna Beaton's vision, bringing together the world of ideas and the world of action. So on behalf of APHA, I am pleased to present the Donna Beaton Award to Dr. Carolyn Clancy. For those of you who can't see it, it appropriately comes in a recycled
city feed
and supply bag.
Organic gardening, yeah.
Right.
If you make a plain.
But what it is it consists of 3 bound signed volumes of his work. And are getting rarer by the year. I haven't thumbed through them, but I am sure that somewhere in them is not only great wisdom, but great poetry. So, Carolyn.
Thank you.